Man, praise the Lord. Everybody doing all right tonight? Yes. Good deal. Well, I am once again honored to be in front of you, to get to preach the word to this good-looking congregation. We thank you for all of your prayers and kind words while we were out of town. We were at the Greater Glory Conference with the Gobers at Canaan Land, and we had a great time. It was an amazing time of worship and word and the anointing flowing, and it was a good time. So praise the Lord. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about your purpose. And for the further along in years that are with us tonight, I'm not going to say anybody's old. The crowd that's been around a little while, don't check out, because there are people that get to the end of their lives and they still wonder, what is my purpose? Amen? So, we're going to talk about purpose. I want everybody to say, designed to matter.
Designed to matter.
God created all of us on purpose for a purpose. Amen? Genesis 1:26. We'll start there. Genesis chapter 1. Yay! Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God." Amen? So you were literally created in the image and likeness of God. God put his unique signature on each and every single one of you. You are marked by his presence. You have been given gifts, talents, and abilities exclusive to you in order to glorify your Creator. Amen? You are not here by mistake. I'll say that again. You are not here by mistake. And what I mean by that is that you're not an accident. Contrary to what you may have been told at some point in your life, you are not an accident, and you are not here by accident. God foreordained, predestined, predetermined that you would be here to fulfill his purpose on the earth. Amen. Amen? You matter to God. Somebody say, I matter.
Amen.
You matter to God. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God uses what the world would consider unusable, what the world considers disqualified. Don't buy into the lie, folks, that you are somehow disqualified from the plan and the purpose of God on your life because of what you've done, maybe in your past, or maybe the season of life that you currently find yourself in. You're not disqualified. C.S. Lewis said this, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." Also, let me say this, and we talked a little bit about this, I guess it was two Wednesdays ago, down in youth, and I just want to put this out there. Don't disqualify someone else based on the chapter of their life that you may have walked in on. God is still writing their story. Amen? And just as he is yours, just as he is mine, think about some of the times in your life that God was still trying to do some course correction. Amen? Imagine if some of the people had judged the entirety of your life based on that one chapter. We are still in the process of being perfected, right? As a matter of fact, I have not met a perfect person yet besides Jesus. Don't disqualify or discredit someone because of where they are. Encourage them and point them to Jesus. Amen? See, God is really good at using people that the world would consider disqualified. I'll give you some examples. Abraham, he was too old. Elijah, he was depressed and suicidal. He's known as the suicidal prophet, right? Joseph was beaten and abandoned. Job lost everything he had. Moses had a speech problem and insecurities. Gideon was full of fear. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. David committed adultery. And to boot, he sent Bathsheba's husband into battle to be killed. Jeremiah, they said, was too young. Jacob was a cheater. Martha worried about everything. Peter denied even knowing Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times. And Paul persecuted and killed Christians before becoming one. I honestly believe that this is for somebody that's watching online tonight, and thank you for joining us. I believe this is for you. Don't buy into the lie that you're too far gone to be used by God, because there is enough grace for every goof up, and there is enough mercy for every mistake. Your life matters, so make it matter. Amen? When we lean into God and realize that He has shaped us and He has molded us, like it says in Isaiah 64:8, "But now, O Lord, You are our Father, we are the clay, and You are potter, and all we are, and we are all the work of Your hand." God created you with purpose. He shaped you, He molded you, He formed you. The Bible literally says that God spoke everything into existence, right? Then God said, "Let there be light." Then God said, "Let there be a firmament to separate." God said, "Put the stars here," right? But you, it says He formed. He formed you. I love what Ephesians 2:10 says in the Amplified Classic. "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God has predestined, planned beforehand, for us taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life." Amen. How many of you want to live the good life? Then walk in the way that God has predestined for you, set beforehand. Amen. Living the good life, which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Psalm 139, 14 through 17, this is in the New Living Translation. It says, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." Husbands in the room, say amen. You finally have something that describes your better half. You are so wonderfully complex. Amen? "Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." Verse 15, "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. So we know God has a good plan, right? We see in Jeremiah 29:11 that God has good plans for you. Plans not for evil, but for good. To give you a hope and a future. And the Bible also says that he gives us light for our path. Amen? So he has good plans for us. And he's also set a light on our path so that we could follow those good plans that he has. Psalms 119:105 says that your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. But we have a choice, right? And this is where free will comes into play. We get to choose to either surrender our own ambitions and follow God, or go our own way. We have a choice. God's not forcing you to follow him. Amen? When Jesus encountered his would-be disciples, they had a choice whether or not to follow him. Amen? Imagine if Peter had said, "Nah, I'm okay, I'm gonna keep on fishing." Imagine if Matthew was like, "No, I'm content being a tax collector. I make pretty good money from the government. The Romans have been decent to me." Right? Imagine. We have a choice. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of what? Death." There's a way that seems right in our minds. There's a way that seems good to us. There's a way that would seem to work out better for us than what we can't see from God. Amen? Because God's not illuminating the entire path, right? It's a lamp unto our feet. Every step, the next is illuminated. We have to take the next step. Amen? Could you imagine if God laid out your entire life before you from the moment you were born and you could see everything that was going to happen? Can you imagine how much you would have screwed that up? Can I say that? Could you imagine how messed up if you could see everything that God had laid out before you? What would you try to do? You try to jump to the end and get there, right? Now, I'm the youth pastor, right? I'm the youth pastor, and our youth group name is Voyage Youth. Let me hear you, Voyage Youth. Yeah. But God, when we moved back and we were in the process of talking with Pastor John and Miss Sheila and trying to figure out the timeline of, you know, us coming back and were we going to take over the youth and when we were going to take over the youth, and it happened pretty quickly. Praise God. But it was good. But I had dropped in my heart, and I can remember specifically where we were and what we were talking about. Me and Christina were sitting at Panera. And I told her, it's like, I just feel like God has deposited this in me, that the name of our youth group should be Voyage Youth, because life is a journey. Amen? And we're going places. Amen? We're going places. I believe with everything in me that this group, these guys, they're going places. They're going to do amazing things. And that's what God dropped in my heart. It wasn't just a cheesy, cliche, life's a journey, right? No, it was intentional. Life is a journey. We don't just jump to the end of the story, right? Life, we have to navigate, right? Amen? So I believe that if we were given the opportunity to see into the future what God had in store for us, man, isn't it sweet to get to trust Him? Notice I said get to trust Him. Amen? To find our purpose, we must first begin with our Creator. See, we, and when I say we, I'm speaking on the behalf of Pastor Mark, Miss Margaret, Pastor John, Miss Sheila, myself, Christina, the staff here at Cleveland Christian Fellowship, we want you to know God. And I don't mean the idea of God. Amen? Come, somebody. Not the idea of God. Not this routine, ritualistic kind of way that we want you to really know Him in a personal way, to have relationship with Him. Amen? We want you to know God. And God's purpose, His plan, was placed in you from your very first breath. No, let me back up a little bit. From your first heartbeat. No, let me back up a little bit. Before you were even formed in your mother's womb, He had a plan and purpose for your life. Don't miss this. The definition of purpose is the reason that something exists. The reason something exists. And if you're taking notes, I know I said a lot already, but my first point is you were designed to walk in purpose. You were designed to walk in purpose. God has designed each of us with gifts and abilities in order to walk out our purpose for Him. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 in the New Living Translation says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Now, pause. That does not mean that you have to have a microphone. Right? That doesn't mean that you have to be called into the fivefold ministry. It says, do you have the gift of speaking? We are called to the sphere of influence that God has called us to. Amen? We all have a specific sphere of influence. So we are called to speak what God has done in our lives. Amen? Your testimony. Amen. Right? If He set you free, why would you want to keep that a secret? Amen. Healing, deliverance, restoration, freedom. Amen. We should be shouting it from the rooftops. Amen? The good work that He's done in us. I mean, we have literally gone from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We have been translated from death to life. We have gone from rejected to accepted. We can't keep it a secret. This world depends on it. Amen? So we are called to speak. Do we have the gift of speaking? It continues on. It says, then speak as though God Himself is speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others. Again, we all have a call to serve one another. That's why we say all the time here, get involved. Get plugged in somewhere to serve. Jump in and be a part of what Cleveland Christian Fellowship is doing in this community. Amen? It's not by chance that Pastor Mark and Miss Margaret planted the church in 1983 in Cleveland, Tennessee. There's a reason, there's a purpose, there's a plan. We've been called to this community. Amen? And then through outreach with missionaries and whatever else, we're called to the world. But we're all called to serve one another. It says, do it with all the strength and energy that who supplies? That God supplies. That God supplies. Then everything that you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. So the strength and energy that God supplies, you're not doing it in your own strength. You're not doing it with your... That's why when people are burnt out and people are tired, it's because they've been trying to do it in their own strength. Amen? You can't do it on your own. And people that have been trying to do it on their own, people that are not in relationship with Jesus Christ, especially in the climate that we're in right now, how in the world do you live this life without Jesus? How do you live this life without the Holy Spirit inside you? I don't want to know what that's like. Everybody say design. The definition of design is the purpose, the planning, or the intention that exists or is thought to exist behind an action, fact, or object. When we are intentional about seeking the design of something, that's when we'll see the purpose behind it. So, there's a chair, right? Some of y'all have probably been like, Liz, that doesn't look good in the camera shot. I don't know what he's doing. But this is my little prop, right? So, what is this? Everybody? It's a chair. Okay? It's a chair. We know it's a chair. The purpose of a chair is seen in its design, right? The purpose of a chair is what? Sitting, right? The purpose of a chair is sitting. But it can have other uses, right? You could sit in it, and I could sit here and have a conversation with you, right? It's made for sitting. But what else can I do with it? I could use it as a weapon if I needed to, right? I could use it, you know, Christina, sometimes she asks me to get things that are up high, and I'm not very tall myself, so I'm like, okay, just let me pull up a chair, right? And I could stand in the chair, right? Pretty sturdy chair. Or say, you know, we have three boys. So say they want to play a fun game of musical chairs, right? And I'm pretty competitive. So you're going around this chair, right? And you're like, nope, you're not going to get the chair. I'm getting the chair. Nope, it's my chair, right? So I can play a game of musical chairs with them. But the thing is, what was it designed for? It was designed for sitting. So, watch this. Anytime I use this chair for anything outside of the original design of sitting, what ends up happening is it ends up compromising the integrity, the character, and the longevity of what it was purposed for. Now I'm preaching, right? If it was reserved for its intended purpose, and if I take care of it, it can be preserved and even passed down generationally. This could be a family heirloom. You want to bring this with us to our new house? No? Okay. It's worth a shot. So let's talk about us. Amen? Anytime we live our lives outside of the design of who He called us to be, what happens? It ends up compromising our integrity, our character, and our longevity for the kingdom. Guys, we were made for more. Amen. We were made for more. Number two, you were designed to be multiplied. Now, this is a little more vague. This is a little more obscure. What does this mean? I believe that we serve a God of multiplication, right? Amen. Y'all believe that? Y'all believe He's a God of the hundredfold? Amen. Praise God. He's a God of multiplication. The things that He has downloaded into our spirits and the things that we have learned and been transformed by, we want to be able to pass down those things to our kids. Amen? We want to be able to pass those things down. All of the character, all of the integrity, all the principles and fundamentals of our faith, we want to pass that on. For it to be multiplied, so that the things that are the lids and the ceilings for us, that they're the floor and the foundation for Jeremiah, for Judah, for Josiah. Amen? And that legacy of faith has been extended to us so that it could then be extended to them and then continue generation after generation after generation. I'm so grateful for what I have obtained here. The legacy of faith from Pastor Mark and from Pastor John, and the things that have been planted in us, the things that Christina got a hold of from such an early age, the things that I came into when I got here and I put roots here and I started to learn and I started to grow, and then going out to Rhema and continuing the mandate of go teach my people faith, those things that have been imparted in us, those fundamentals of faith, those are the things that I want to pass on generationally. That's the legacy that I want to continue. Amen? And you have to realize something. You have to realize that your purpose and your calling is not just for you. There are people that are tied to your purpose. Let me say that again, and do not take this lightly. There are people that are tied to your purpose. See, when we're intentional with stepping into the fullness of our purpose, it will then resonate through eternity. Amen? Your imprint will have an everlasting presence even beyond your physical life here on earth. Amen. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." We are representatives of Jesus Christ. If we bear the name of Jesus, we are joint heirs, we are ambassadors, we are His representatives here on the earth. Amen? So everything that you do and everything that you say bears the name of Jesus Christ. And let me say this also, no matter how you choose, because there is a choice, right? We already talked about that. No matter how you choose to live your life, you will make a mark on everybody that you encounter, good or bad. How will you be remembered? Amen? And we're talking about legacy. And I remember when my papaw JB passed away, and we were standing at the front of the church like you do when you have a funeral, right? And everybody was coming by, and everybody was paying their respects. And I kept hearing from everybody that came by how great of a man he was and how much he meant to them, and how he was the best man that they had ever worked for, and how much he meant to this community, and how he led this one to the Lord, and how he helped this one. Amen. So I'm hearing all of these things, and it was beyond just the niceties, right? It was beyond just the obligatory kind words that you say to someone who's grieving, right? It was beyond that. It was a genuine love and respect. And I knew that he was a good man because I had seen it walked out all my life. I looked up to him. I respected him. I knew that he was a great man. But to have it reaffirmed in such a way and to know the lasting effect. I mean, I'm talking about people that worked for him years ago, like before I was born. And for them to come and say that and to know the lasting effect that he had on people was incredible to see and hear. And the whole community seemed to echo the sentiment, because just up the road at the Methodist Church, they had dedicated their church sign to a memorial that read, J.B. Arnwine, a man who not only talked the talk, but walked the walk. What legacy will you leave behind? Romans 2:4 says that it is the goodness of God that lead men back to Him. Demonstrate His goodness, His kindness, His love. Amen? Because that's what I saw. That's what I saw from the people that were coming by and paying their respects. I saw that genuine love and respect because it was reciprocated. Amen? Because he was a man of love and respect. They loved and respected him. Number three, you were designed to demonstrate his power. You were designed to demonstrate the power of God. Your impact is dependent on His involvement and the presence of His power in your life. This is probably a book that you may not go to very often, but Zephaniah 3:17, and this is in the Good News Translation, says, "The Lord your God is with you. His power gives you victory. The Lord will take delight in you, and His love will give you new life." It's important to realize that you're not doing this on your own. Just to reiterate, you're not doing it on your own. So stop trying to. It is by whose power? It's by His power, not yours. By His power. Zechariah 4:6 says it's not by earthly power, nor by human might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not earthly power. There's nothing in your flesh that can accomplish the plan and purpose of God. Matter of fact, your flesh is working against the Spirit of God. Amen? Because we have to put the flesh under. We have to crucify the flesh daily. Some of us hourly. Right? So your flesh isn't accomplishing anything for the kingdom. Mm-mm. It's not by human might. No, it's by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 3:20 and 21 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us," according to the power. Again, whose power? His power. Verse 21, "To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." We were designed to demonstrate his power. We were designed. Just like the design of this chair. Right? You discover the purpose in it by its design. Let's go back to when we were talking about being formed in his image and likeness, right? See, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? How were we created? In his image and likeness. He's three in one. So what are we? Three in one. We are spirit. We possess a soul, which is our mind, will, emotions. And we live in a body. The design reveals the purpose. So your purpose has always been for him. Amen? From the very beginning, we were designed to demonstrate his power. I believe that we were designed to demonstrate his power by laying hands on the sick and watching them recover. I believe that we were designed to demonstrate his power by walking under the unction and the influence of the Holy Spirit to speak in a heavenly tongue, to prophesy. Amen? See, I believe that we were designed to demonstrate his power, to live our lives in the overflow and to be generous with our time, to be generous with our talents, to be generous with our treasures. Amen? We're called to live out of the overflow. That means that we are living in abundance, more than enough. Amen? That means that we were called to be prosperous. And our purpose is not to be prosperous and retain everything that we've been blessed with. No, our call and our purpose and our design is to be generous with everything that we have acquired. Amen? See, we have access to the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead to do and speak and accomplish much here on this earth for the tiny amount of time that we have. The days are short, folks. The days are short. I love so much. Like I said, we were at Canaan Land for the Greater Glory Conference, and Brother Tracy Harris. How many of you know who Tracy Harris is? My God, he's a prophet. He is something else. But that's what he kind of emphasized is that the days are short and we don't have any time for delay. If we're going to jump in, we got to jump in with both feet. Amen? Because we don't have a lot of time left. So we need to step into our purpose. If we haven't already done that, above everything else, I believe that we're called to bring glory to God. Whatever that looks like. And I believe that we're called to bring glory to God in every sphere of our life. Whether that be our job, whether that be in our relationships, Amen? Don't think small. Amen? Don't think small. We're not putting God in a box. Not anymore. We got to think bigger. We got to do bigger. We got to... Because we got a job to do. Amen? We've got a job to do. So, to step into our purpose that we were designed to walk in, we were designed to step into, to be fully immersed in. You were called to walk in purpose. You were designed to be multiplied generationally. And you were designed to demonstrate God's power here on this earth. Amen? Everybody stand to your feet. Father, we thank you tonight. God, we thank you for your word. Father, we know that the entrance of your word brings life and brings light. Father, we thank you that as we are doers of your word and not hearers only, God, I thank you that we would walk in our purpose. God, I thank you that each and every individual under the sound of my voice right now would take the opportunity to see through the lens of the Creator, to see that they were designed on purpose for a specific purpose. Father, that each and every single person would come to the realization that I have a calling and I have a purpose. And no matter what phase of life they may be in, no matter what season they may find themselves in, no matter what chapter of their story is being written, Father, I thank you that you're not too young and you're not too old to realize that you were called to walk in purpose. God, I thank you that God, I thank you that we wouldn't grow weary in well-doing, but that we would continue in your statutes and your precepts and your word would be so entrenched in us, Father, that whenever we're faced with opposition, because I truly believe that we haven't seen persecution yet, not here, not yet. But Father, I thank you that we would stand up and that we would be so bold. Father, that we wouldn't continue on living a lukewarm life. Because Father, I truly believe that the days are short, that your Holy Spirit is moving and things are happening in the spirit realm. So, Father, I thank you that as a church, the body of Cleveland Christian Fellowship, Father, I thank you that we would be a crucial part of these end times. Father, that we would be you. And Father, that we're called according to your purpose. God, I just thank you tonight. I thank you tonight that we are living in abundance. We are living in the overflow, that these things are made available to us, that spiritual gifts flow in this place, that your Holy Spirit has free reign, that we're obedient, God, I thank you again for your word. I thank you that it's life-giving, that it's life-changing for all who choose to believe it, act on it, and apply it to their lives. Jesus, I thank you that we would encounter you and that we would look more like you day by day. It's in his mighty name that I pray. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, guys. Love you so much. Appreciate you. And you are dismissed. Prayer. If you want to stay for prayer, we are doing that following around 8:15-ish. So if you want to stay and pray, you are welcome to.